1 Peter chapter 3. These past few months had been very full on this theme of marriage, really this calendar year. Weddings, some amazing weddings, engagements. Were you looking at my notes, brother? Right there. And more engagements. And 18 couples from our church that have participated in the marriage retreats this month. 18 couples. In fact, I had one piece of paper extra during the time, and so this theme has been on my heart the last couple of weeks, but when everybody on Friday went out to have their time, the couples got really quiet at the cabin. That's unusual for those who've been to a marriage retreat. But I had one piece of paper that I was trying to keep taking notes and work on while everybody was gone. But this piece of paper became our menu order Thursday and Friday night. This one piece of paper has traveled a lot. Here's our order on Thursday night, if any of the saints for posterity. Here's our order on Friday night. But more importantly, here's Philip's beginning notes. Just a fun moment as I kept saying, hey, don't lose that piece of paper. Crystal, where'd you put that piece of paper? Marriage. I thought it would be timely, saints, to stay with this theme. Today, the centrality of everything I'm going to speak on is the glory of Jesus Christ. It always is when we open the scriptures. And so marriage ultimately is about the glory of Jesus Christ with his church. So I'd like to focus today on the theme, a familiar theme, but being heirs together. H-E-I-R-S. Heirs together from 1 Peter chapter 3. I spoke on this theme almost exactly 6 years ago. But most of you weren't here 6 years ago. So I know, saints, those who have memories of 6 years ago, hopefully this will be fresh and helpful. But to you marriages, you couples that are here, may the Lord give truth to your hearts and your lives. As I look back, over 70% of the couples now in the church were not here 70 years ago. 7 years. 6 years ago. 6 years ago. Get my numbers right. 6 years ago. Over 70%. So it's a glorious truth, and may the Lord bless it. For those of you who are single, marriage may be ahead for you. For those that are in the beginning of your marriage, those that are many years down the road, God give help today. May it bless truth to you. This is not just for a few, it's for all of us. This great verse, I'm going to read 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, and that one phrase will be our focus today. And then I'll pray. May God bless his word. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them, your wives, according to knowledge or with understanding. Give honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Amen. May he bless his word. Let me pray. Father, we are grateful that the grace of God, wonderful grace of Jesus, is what we have and what we live in. Grace unmerited, but grace abounding towards us. Thank you, Lord, that today is celebration and praise and joy and honor unto thee. Unto the Lamb forever is all the glory. As he came in Jerusalem there on that donkey and they worshiped him, we continue today to worship you, O Lamb of God. Bless your word. Speak as only you can speak by your Spirit, and give help to everybody in this room, particularly, Lord, the marriages, the engagements, that these truths would blaze with power and reality. Help us, Lord. Be honored. Have the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Marriage is a covenant. I'm just going to say some opening. Marriage is a covenant. It's a covenant between a man and woman when they come together in this holy union. And it's a commitment of total love and devotion all the days of their life. It's a covenant. It portrays the covenant love of God with his people. That's the proclamation to the world around us. It portrays us, it pictures this, and it particularly is showing forth the glory of Jesus Christ with his people. That's the chief end of marriage, saints, the majesty and glory of Jesus Christ and how he loves us. Therefore, this covenant is the foundation of the marriage. I'm going on 42 years of walking in this covenant by the grace and mercies of God. What a precious thing. But connected, or one of the great connections to this foundation of covenant and covenant love, is the reality of a couple, a husband and wife, as one being heirs together. They have something together. They have this magnificent truth. It's not just a concept. It's not just a nice idea. It's not just poetic. It's truth that they're knit together in Jesus Christ. Precious. So it's experiential. We're living in it. It's not just a thought. It's life together. The covenant and this heirs together in Jesus Christ. So I ask you right here at the beginning, how's it going in your marriage? How is it going? You know, just got back less than 24 hours ago from being with the dear couples on a marriage retreat. How's it going in our marriages? Would any of these words describe the current state of your marriage? Distant, lonely, joyless. It happens. Yes, it does happen all the time. And if this is true in your marriage, or anybody that's even listening today, if this is true, then you need the wonderful grace of God to renew you together in Him. That's what you need, because He is the central one. Husbands are to love their wives as Christ, right? They're to be so saturated, so full of the Lord Jesus Christ, that that's how they love her. And wives are to love their husbands and be devoted to them. So, saints, this is to help you. This is truth to help you. You, if you're struggling, you need a renewed perspective. You need renewed help in the truth to walk as heirs together. And that's what's been on my heart as I've gone to these weddings, as I've heard these announcements for engagements, and as we've come through these marriage retreats in these last few weeks. Let's let the Word of God in this passage from Peter speak, and then let me go with it today. So let's go back to the context here. Peter is giving exhortations to wives at the beginning of 1 Peter 3, and then he transitions to the husband, to the man. And he says, likewise, you husbands. And he gives three resounding, clear exhortations. Dwell with understanding. Husbands, and that's not what I'm going to stay on, but that's one of them. Second, honor the wife. Honor your wife. And third, be heirs, or walk in being joint heirs together. Walk in this. It's an exhortation of something that's achievable, right? That it is experiential, that we can have this precious life in Jesus Christ together. There's not two tracks. You're in it together. So it's an exhortation on how husbands and wives should see and walk together. When you're an heir together, that it means you share in something. Right, when my mom passed away 5.5 years ago, my brother and sister and I had to deal with being heirs of what we were trying to be stewards of, right? I mean, that's a small picture. It was our responsibility together as heirs to walk in what was going to happen with those possessions and resources. But this is this beautiful picture of heirs in Jesus Christ, sharing in Him together, right? You are jointly participating with Jesus Christ. He's the central one in all that you're about. That's the most magnificent thing in all of life, right? Is to have Christ in you, the hope of glory, and as a husband and wife, that's what you're sharing in, ultimately. This is big. This is lofty, but it's really living as a couple. It's the truth for us. So this gift of grace and salvation and life of the Holy Spirit in you is being shared in, right? You both have Him, and you should share in that, and it should be a means of grace in day-to-day living. You have the same treasure, right? You have the same treasure. You have Jesus Christ. You're sharing in that treasure together. You're partaking of it. So that's the foundation. That's the context here. You say, dwell with your wife in an understanding way. Honor your wife and walk with her as an heir. She is with you in your walk with Jesus Christ. You are the closest companions. So today, beloved, I'd like to, and I'll try to move fairly quickly here, I'd like to give three areas, three aspects of this companion or being joint heirs together, being close, being knit together in love and in the walk with Jesus Christ. First, as heirs together, cultivate this companionship in Jesus Christ. Cultivate it. This, you could even use the word friendship, this bond. Cultivate it. Grow it. Walk in it. Experience it together. As heirs in the Lord Jesus Christ, each couple should build or invest themselves in this friendship, in this closeness, in this bond. You have the same Savior, right? Husbands aren't going this way and she's going this. You are in this life of the faith and in the grace of God together. He's in you, with you. And so your closest companion in Jesus Christ is her or him. It should be seen. It should be felt. I got so much more ground I need to gain. I'm not saying there's a finish point, but we ought to be growing in this companionship. I could stop right here, and there's probably plenty of truth already been spoken in God's Word and the limited things I've said here that we all are challenged. We're all called to greater reality of being heirs together. Let me go on. This precious Spirit of God dwelling in us together. So as a couple, you're to have joy. You have this joy and privilege of walking with Jesus Christ together. Yes, you're individually saved, rescued by the grace of God. But now your companion, if we wanted to use Bunyan's picture of Christian and hopeful or Christian and faithful, your closest companion is your wife or your husband. You're both on your way to the celestial city. You're on the way to the kingdom of God. One of you may release the other in death, but you're both going to that kingdom. And therefore, the life that you're living, love, children, money, work, everything you're about, is in Him, faced towards Him and His kingdom. You talk about recalibrating your thinking. That's why Friday morning, as the groups, couples got to go out and have their time, I'm sitting in there by myself thinking, this is phenomenal. I'm getting to see these couples. Just see them, enjoy them, laugh with them. And I'm thinking, oh, Lord, make them experience being heirs together, walking with Jesus Christ. So therefore, in daily life, you are to encourage one another and admonish one another and to keep one another, right? These are biblical commands. Daniel has been joining me and a few other guys from work, and we've been going through all the one another's. It's kind of overwhelming, isn't it? And these one another's are to experience with husband and wife that are in Christ together, encouraging, admonishing. So men, if you think that this only happens with other men, you are way off. This bond, this walking, this exhorting, this reading, this building each other. If your thought is, I do it with other men, I do it very limited with my wife, you need a whole fresh perspective on this today. I need help here more and more. Your wife is your closest companion in Christ. She is the one to be shared with. This is what Peter is saying. If we're to walk with them and dwell with them and to honor them and to walk with them as heirs, it's day to day, week to week. Things that are precious to you in the faith should be precious to her and should be shared in. You should feast on Him together, ultimately. So how does companionship, stay with me, how does this companionship in our Savior get experienced? How do we grow in this? How do we put this in motion together, right? Obviously, there's distinctions of dominion and responsibilities in life day to day, but how are we sharing in this companionship in Jesus Christ together? Let me mention a few. You share God's Word together. You share God's Word together. His truths are precious and alive to you, and you should continue to share in these together. You read the Word of God. You talk about the things of God, the Word of God, and you're built up in this together. You sisters, when you read, when God has given you things, you should be free to constantly be sharing this with your husband. You have a greater husband than us. You have the husband, Jesus Christ. He teaches you. He guides you. You should be free to share that. Brothers, as God is giving you and growing you, speak these things, sharing these things with your wife, your heirs together. These are truths for both of you. And it's glorious to hear and see this in each other, isn't it? There are times when you see God working in your spouse and you know he's working, and then you get to share in these truths together. What a gift to talk about it. So the Word of God, praying together, just the bond of prayer. It's such an open, transparent, gut, honest time to live with anybody. I mean, to be with somebody, but to be with your spouse and pray together. Whether in the morning or sometime during the day or at night, whenever your moment is, to pray together, to seek the living God together. Do you love to hear your spouse pray? You know how they hurt. They know how you hurt. If you pray together, you're experiencing life in our Savior together. It's precious. It's further and further helping you along. And I'll tell you what, it's deepening your love. As I said in that hotel lobby, that little gift shop 7 or 8 years ago, whatever it was, by myself looking for a little small gift for Krista. And the two young ladies, one said, "Sir, you need some help?" I said, "No, I'm just looking for something small for my wife, just to take back." "Really? How long have you been married?" 35 years. "What? Wow. What's the secret to marriage?" You all have heard me say. I said, "Jesus Christ." Two girls looked at me and they went, "Whoa. Tell us more. She's getting married in 2 weeks." What else am I going to tell them? What is the key to marriage? Right? It's the glory of Jesus Christ in our lives with each other. That's the key. There are a lot of other things we can be about in marriage, yes. But He's it. He's life in us. We're sharing in life in Him. So if we're in His Word together, we're praying together, then we're experiencing our communion together in our Savior. And He's building us up. He's cleansing. He's building us up in the truth. So prayer, reading and enjoying great books together. Just the delight of that. Reading portions of things, excerpts, things, staying with a book. I could go around the room today and have different ones raise their hands and tell me about it. What's it doing for you? It's phenomenal. We laughingly told, didn't we, the other day with the group, the story, or at some point, maybe it was even in a prayer meeting, but we told the story of me reading that smaller book on Hudson Taylor with his wife Maria. And I had been away, and I came back, and I said to Chris, "Oh boy, I've got to read this. I've got to read some of the last moments of their life before God took her home." And she said, "Oh no. Are we going to do that to me?" "Yes, I'm going to do that to you. And we're both going to cry. So you might as well get ready for the ride." That's what I'm saying. And so this is right when you were going to bed, and she's laying in bed, and I pull up a chair and I read the last two pages of Maria's life with Hudson. And it was phenomenal. Because it had such a kingdom view about it. It was just, wow, awesome. Here's a statement about their love, their companionship in their Savior. Quote, "Undoubtedly the overflowing or overriding factor in their marriage was an equal, uninhibited loyalty to their vocation," or in this case, their missionary labor. An equal and uninhibited loyalty to their missionary labors. That was the overriding factor, it says. They were committed to the gospel of Jesus Christ together. And they had a bunch of kids together in the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of God and those dear children was their chief aim. You hear it, saints? It is said that Hudson Taylor would have not been the man or even have been able to embark upon the ministry he was doing without, in that chapter of his life, Maria coming into his life, and how they sharpened and built each other up and encouraged and grew in grace and the power of God upon them. Awesome. Yes, dear ones, cultivate companionship in your Savior. Second, as heirs together, walk in faith together. Faith. Faith together. Right? This glorious central theme, particularly in New Testament, but throughout the Scriptures, of faith, believing God together. You don't send the other one out as the one that has to walk by faith. You're in it together. Stirring each other up in faith, we have to believe God. I know I've probably said that too many times in my marriage at times when we're just faced, there's no solution of man. And I'll just say to Krista, we're just going to have to believe God. That's saying something, right? It's just admitting God can do anything. He does everything, right? You've been married any length of time, you've seen this. Some of the stories that we heard shared at the marriage retreat, the things that God does in your life and in your marriage and in your family. Faith together. This is a part of being heirs. You have the like precious faith. You have to believe God together. And you stir one another up. It'll bond you together or knit you together. That's how God intends it. Because you're having to believe Him. Things that you need. Things that are heavy. Things that you face. Sometimes it's the husband bowed down, weighed down, and the wife in faith together with him asking God. So it's huge. The reality of this, saints, is huge as a couple. Faith. Companionship, this thing of enjoying the means of grace, the Word of God, prayer, reading, fellowship, growing, the truth of God with you. But here, crying out to God and believing Him in faith. It's awesome for a couple. You learn to look to God in the little things, right? We oftentimes will say there's not any little thing with God. In the little things. And you learn to look to God in the big things, right? Sometimes you'll hear your spouse say something that's they're laboring with, they're struggling. It may be small, relatively speaking, but that's when by faith you ask God for each other. Lord, come, help. It's just remarkable. It's a privilege, saints. It's a privilege to do this together, right? It's the gift of God. I know that I'm speaking in language and topics today that would blow this lost, perishing, vanity-based world away, right? Just put aside of this room with supposed Hollywood stars or music stars or whatever, and they think they know how to sing and talk about love. And I would say, just sit for a little while and listen to the Word of God and the glory of Jesus Christ in marriage. Faith together? Yes. Seeing God arise and do great things for you and for His name's sake. And when I say you, you as a couple, you're being united on the journey. You're seeing God answer and move, and you have these marks, right? You have this ledger. You have this long record of what God has done. Sometimes when I'm in the car or around some of my grown children now, and I try to recount a story, to me it's just a random story, and I bring something up, and then how God did something. And one of the kids will say, Dad, I don't remember that story. I think I've said this to y'all recently, right? They'll say, well, I don't remember that, and I'd say, oh, but then God did this, and then this is what happened. And it's almost like it catches them off guard. I had no idea of what y'all were going through in that time. There's only one that does, my spouse and our great Savior. And it speaks of what He's carried us through. Oh, man, you both are in it, right? Hudson Taylor would owe so much of his whole life and ministry to his first wife, who God took when she was fairly young, and his second wife. She was magnificent. They were magnificent in the kingdom of God with him. Man, there's so much masculine rah-rah garbage that goes on in our day. Men, let's get the right perspective here. To be men, but to be men knit together with our wives in our Savior, living and walking by faith. That God would be exalted. Our children would see it. The world around us would see it. There is no lesser role. We're all His. We're in it. Every husband that walks with Jesus Christ knows I need my wife and her faith and her life as much as I need anything in this earth. Absolutely. What is this covenant? It's Jesus Christ in us. It's a gift of God. He that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. Walk with her as a joint heir, brothers. Sisters, immerse yourself in the life of your husband in faith with God. Live it. Live it together. Walk in it together. You're moving along with Him. As we read the Scriptures, we read through the Bible, there's these notable couples that walked in faith together, right? They're there. They're in the pages, these husband and wife, and sometimes they're in their young years of their life, sometimes in their older years of life. First one, Abraham and Sarah. They both were given the promise for a son. They both had to believe God, right? They did. Abraham and Sarah had the same great God who reigned over them and gave them that gift of that son, the promised son. They had to walk by faith. I can't imagine the conversations of an old woman like that with child for the first time. What would Abraham have said to her? And what would they have shared in? Well, those are hidden things that they had together. But it's very awesome. Faith. I remember as a young man, young husband, young father-to-be, those early months of getting to put my hand on her tummy when our firstborn was in the womb. You either walk with God or you're going to start floating around on your own. This is your time. This is your love. This is your child. This is your God, your King, your Savior. You're going to walk with Him together. How about Elkanah and Hannah? We emphasize so much Hannah because she promised to give her son back to God, Samuel, right? But Elkanah, the husband, and Hannah, they had to walk by faith because God blessed her and gave her Samuel. And then they gave him back to God as a little boy. It's faith. They had to do it together. By faith, this couple devoted their son to God for the glory of God. And how about Aquila and Priscilla? A couple in the New Testament full of faith in the truths of God. In this great new covenant or this gospel message that had come forth. They were both strong in this. Right? Apollos came and was with him, and they strengthened him. They helped him. They spoke more and more of the redeeming love of Jesus Christ, the truth of God, to others, Aquila and Priscilla. That's awesome. You see, they're in the faith together. They're seeing and experiencing the grace of God day by day, week by week, month by month. And in this faith together, you're seeing the hand of God, right? Faith and answers and deliverances and mercies. You're seeing and cherishing the hand of God in your life. Some of your dreams, men, are dreams. You know what I mean by that? Things that you long for that need to be more knit together with your wife in faith. Sometimes, men, you get too many dreams on your own, if I can be real blunt. I expect the men of the world to have their own independent dreams. Because if they don't walk with God, they have vain thoughts anyway. But I'm talking about dreams and ambitions that we as men might have that need to be shared and experienced with our wives so that God would do what He's going to do. Right? Trusting God together. You have struggles. We're talking about faith through the struggles. Hanging on and seeing through it all the timing and the loving kindness of God. You really do learn and trust more and more that His leading and timing is in His ways, right? My times, as David said, my times are in His hand. Our times, my marriage, my life, our all, our labors, our togetherness. And so in trusting Him in all things, we're more and more experiencing the power, the presence of God together. We can celebrate these moments. It's awesome, right? You couples that have been married a few years, you know what I'm talking about. The deliverances, the things that only you experience together. Not even your children, your parents, or somebody like that. And in these moments, the husband can speak a word of encouragement to his wife. God's with us. We'll look to Him. The wife can encourage the faith of her husband. She can strengthen his hands in God. She can say things to him. She can leave notes. She can share stories, events, reflections of the past, and remind her husband of the great and total reliability of our great God. Isn't that what you want to hear from each other? I mean, I'm getting older now. You start netting out a lot of other things. What do I really want to hear most from my wife? I want to hear of love and a great Savior and a kingdom that we're both going to. That's ultimately what I most want to hear about. It really is. Because she's not going to be my wife forever. She's a sister in Jesus Christ. Now that's worth living for. And we're going to go to the same kingdom. Marriage retreats will end. Raising kids will end. Hugging grandchildren will end. And we will be with our blessed Savior. So here in this life and all that He gives, we ought to walk in that together so that we lift Him up and live for His glory. I look forward to meeting Aquila and Priscilla and hearing more and seeing in the kingdom of our great Savior couples or people like that who God used. You'll learn more from each other. There are so many ways this area of faith is applied, brother, sister. There's so many ways. You need this together. We need to walk and lift each other by faith. Pertaining to your children, pertaining to work, pertaining to hard trials, pertaining to health issues, pertaining to finances, and on and on. Brian had to let Michelle get on the plane and go. That's not easy. It's not easy. Husbands want to hang on. Krista and her mother traveled back in 2005 to Italy. I remember with my father-in-law, us letting them go, and I'm thinking, is this really smart doing this? You feel it. By faith, I had to release her, and y'all know the rest of the story, many of you do. The guy that broke into the hotel in the night came in their room while they were asleep, and Krista laid in the bed, didn't make a noise, with a thief in her room. Who kept her? God. God did it. Brian didn't keep Michelle and get her back, right? Her great Savior did. And he can walk by faith in that very reality. While she's there and he's here, they can live unto God in faith together. Oh, saints. Faith, what a gift of God. Walk in it, grow in it. Leave today committed to be more a man and woman with faith together, whatever you're facing. Number three, as heirs together, share joy in Jesus. Enough of drab, boring, dead marriages in the world. Give me a break. I might go off here. Mac will say, Philip, be careful. Boring, drab marriages. Come on, saints. Marriage is the gift of God. We have our great Savior. We ought to have joy together. I mean, we ought to have great joy. Real joy. Spiritual, internal, stirring, moving, poured out joy together. I mean, in loveness and friendship and all these beautiful things, they should have expressions to Him of joy and thanksgiving and happiness. You should be joyful together. Sometimes one or the other spouse is more inclined to this. Help each other to express things. Men, don't hold back. Live joyfully with your wife. Ecclesiastes, right, Jeff? To live joyfully with your wife. It's God-honoring. It exalts Jesus Christ, the ultimate one that we're knit together with. Joy in Him, fullness of joy. Share in it. Krista likes to use this phrase, we need more happy. I think I might even say that to the elders sometime last month. We need more happy. She doesn't mean that in a trite way. In her own way, she said, we need more joy in our Savior and more joy together. How many of you need more happy today? Probably all of us should put both hands up. Right, brothers? Right? We need more happiness in Him. Joyfulness in Him. I challenge you husbands or you wives this week, look at the other one and say, we need more happy in Jesus. I know the grammar on that's not great, but I've never done real well in this anyway. But happiness in our Savior, joy in Him, and there's heavy things. Sometimes on the pastoral visits and when we're just with you and love to be with you in your homes and you're feeling heavy things and hard things and weighty things, and we understand that. And sometimes we might say, just try to find joy and happiness together in your Savior. I'm not making a trite statement there. I'm being sincere. Happiness, joy, friendship. As joint heirs, as I keep saying, you have the same Savior who gives you peace and joy, one of the fruits of the Spirit, right? You have it. You could get more of it, asking for more of it. If your marriage doesn't have that and you're gut honest about it, today and this week, ask the Holy Spirit to give fresh joy in Him together. I didn't say things or places or stuff. I said joy in Him together. You don't have to go anywhere to have joy in Him together. Because He loves to do this in our hearts and in our lives. And this, I'm going to wind down here. This joy, this reality of being heirs together and having joy in Him together, it spills over. It's seen. It's visible. It's visible. I mean, I saw it with the five different couples in different ways in their marriages. Just, you know, I'm just watching, just taking these things in, watching people. And it was fun. It was special just to see the uniqueness of each couple. Do they all need more joy? Absolutely. Everybody in this room needs more joy, right, Michael? We need more joy. We all do. And there's more to be given. He doesn't just cap it. Joy overflowing together in your Savior. And so when you walk in this, husband, wife, brother, sister, when you walk in this, it'll be visible. It's seen. It's a testimony to the world around you. Close up and from far away. How do your children see you in this? They need to see Christ. His reality in your life brings you great joy. I'm not just talking about when they're little. Mine are getting older. At least the first four. And they need to see that in dad and mom. They need to see it authentically. That it's a work of grace in our lives. And that as they see mom and dad now aging, going through the next decade or the next chapter of life, they need to see fullness of joy in Him and in each other. Right? Our kids. My goodness. Children, you need to see more of that in your parents. Joy in Christ Jesus. I can say grandchildren, but that becomes obvious, right? Some of you are maybe years and years away from grandchildren, but they need to see that too. They need to know, mine need to know, Pops really loves Mamsie. That's what they need to see. No doubt in their mind. If they, in the days to come, they're at my funeral, they need to be able to see that testimony of Jesus Christ in how their grandfather lived. It's that tangible, saints. It really is. How our children see us. How about your extended family? How do your in-laws see you with your spouse in your life with Jesus Christ? That's a great one, right? I mean, I was a young teenager when I met my father-in-law and mother-in-law. I didn't realize, right? But all, so they, I was with them, and I became like a son to them as early as we married, and I was the only son-in-law they had. And so that relationship was profound through the years. And would they see in Philip and Krista, would they see the love of God and the love for each other that was real and a miraculous thing of the grace of God? That's what I'm talking about. Joy, real joy. Yes, happiness in Jesus together. Let others see it. Let your family members see it. Whatever, I'm not trying, you're not faking anything, but just walk in it. It ought to be visible. One other, the world around us, do they see joy in Jesus Christ? Many of you, some of you remember my QT story about going to get the move freeze. How many remember the move freeze story? It's not in my notes, I admit it, it's not here. Move freeze was a cool milkshake item that, is it right? QT used to racetrack, somebody get on that deal and find out where that product went. That's good stuff. I'm not even a dessert guy. Moo freeze. So we'd have prayer meeting on Wednesday night. We had still had the girls in the house. They hadn't married off yet. We had Jesse and Michaela, and we'd come home from prayer meeting. It seems like it was Wednesday night. And I would snatch Krista about 9:30, and we'd go to QT. I'm talking about being happy and joyful in our Savior. Can others see it? Pretty basic question here. What does a moo freeze have to do with it? Stay with me. So I'd get her, and we'd go to racetrack. That's right, Zeke, to get a $2.49 or whatever it was, moo freeze together. So we were on about week three in a row, four in a row. And finally, the young attendant, the female there, and just her appearance, it looked like she was far from the Lord Jesus, right? Just her life. And she said, do y'all come here every Wednesday night? Yeah, we do. We like coming here. And she was just kind of blown away. They actually look like they're happy. They look like they're in love. Wow. Isn't that awesome? And so that opened up in that brief encounter with her an opportunity for her to look into, is that what it means to be in Jesus Christ? You see, saints, it has a testimony. It speaks to others around us. Covenant love and being heirs together, sharing in these things together. It ought to be on display beautifully. And I close with this picture. 1740, the great, dear servant of God, George Whitefield. 1740, spent essentially the whole year in 1740 in America. And of course, preaching, going from these early cities, areas in the United States along the East Coast, and he's advancing the gospel and God's with him. But he's in a heavy season. He's in a heavy season of his life. Because there's things happening back in England and all that he can't be there to help resolve, or he's being accused or whatever it may be. I'm not going to try to get too much detail, but he's traveling in 1740. And where does he go during some of this downtime? He goes to the stiff Jonathan Edwards' house for the weekend. We will just read books together. Get my point? You read it. You go pull out volume 1 in the Whitefield series. Awesome. He goes to the house of Jonathan and Sarah Edwards for a weekend in a downtime in his life, and he comes out of the weekend completely renewed or helped. Why? Because of what he saw in their covenant love. It's in the pages. It's a profound moment. Whitefield got to see, with Jonathan and Sarah, he got to see something just in the day-to-day life of their home and in his godliness and her godliness and their closeness that lifted his spirit in the things of God. Is it possible? Yes, it is possible. Should it be in us? Yes. Oh, Lord, do it in us. I'll read a brief quote. While he was undergoing this period of disappointment, Whitefield spent a weekend at the home of Jonathan and Sarah, and there beheld a demonstration of a married life that beautifully assisted his ministry. It's just hard to grasp. That scene bolstered the servant of God going forth. So much so that Whitefield wrote, "A sweeter couple I have not yet seen." Wow. So when you pick up Jonathan Edwards or read Sister Sarah Edwards again, remember that their love had testimony of their Savior. Individually, but their love together had joy and had life to it. Let me close. Brother, sister, you married ones, you ones that are engaged, aiming towards this, this covenant love means you are heirs together in Jesus Christ, and you are to live this way. You are to walk in it. These are just areas today that I've just tried to encourage your heart and my heart in. Cultivate your companionship in the Lord Jesus Christ. Fuel it, build it, share in it. Second, walk by faith together. Believe God together and let Him arise and do His great things in your life and in your home and in your family and all that you're about. And third, share great joy in the Lord Jesus. Man, Lord, help us be joyful together. Commit to this. Open your hearts to each other. Let Him have the preeminence and let you have the delight of what He gives you. Amen. Lord, help us. Let me pray. Father, help every marriage here and every single person here to be just helped, just taken back, stunned at the reality of these truths that you've given us in your word, this precious union in this reality of being heirs together. Let every husband, every wife today be built up and washed afresh in the truth. We want to go forth to the glory of God. We want to be Jonathan and Sarah Edwards. We want to be like Hudson and Maria. We want to walk so much with you together that the world sees the truth of the gospel. Do it, Lord. We are yours. Blessed be your name. Amen.